You're listening to Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep and close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time, breathe out, breathe in. Now, let us begin. On our last episode of Sleep Stories for Equestrians, the elf was broken in to drive, where she met a little boy on a bicycle and had a race. Let's begin with Chapter 4, An Unpleasant Experience. With Master's regular and careful training, I soon got to go very fast without getting tired. Master is always very particular that none of us should be overstrained, for if a horse is continually allowed to tire himself out, he soon gets winded and in time becomes what is known as a roarer. Many good horses have to be sold for inferior work because of this unpleasant affliction. And if you ever hear a horse go panting and puffing along, you can be fairly sure that sometime or the other, he has been allowed to get overtired. Although I could now go very swiftly, I was not yet equal to either Eros or Chanticleer. But Master never reproached me for this. He just kept on patiently encouraging me. When I talked to Eros about not being able to go as quickly as he can, he was very kind and reminded me that I am a year younger and said that perhaps after another year's training, I might be able not only to go as quickly as he can, but even to outrun him. Chanticleer was not quite so nice and told me rather unkindly that she did not think I should ever be equal to either Eros or herself. The truth was that Chanticleer was jealous of me. She hated Master making such a fuss over me and my training and did not see why she and Eros should be left to rickets while I had so much of Master. Then again, Eros and I loved each other very much, and Chanticleer didn't like that either. I told Mother that I didn't seem able to please her and that I did try so hard, and Mother told me not to mind too much and never to forget to be courteous and kind, even if she did say slighting things and tell me I should never be as clever as she is. About this time, some men asked Master to let them try driving me. I heard the request, and I looked at Master and neighed, "Please say no." And I am sure Master wanted to, because his consent sounded so very reluctant. He patted my head and told me to go well, and I neighed, "I will try my best for you, Master." And I really did try. When the time came for me to go with these strangers, Ricketts harnessed me to a light cart, and he was extra kind and gentle as he did so. I am sure he felt sorry for me, because he knew how I should hate going without either Master or him. He drove me round to the house of the men and then left me. I felt very frightened, but for my Master's sake, I must forget my fears and do my very best. The two men jumped into the cart, and one of them, taking my reins in his hands, gave a sharp, rough jerk at my mouth as a signal for me to start. My mouth had never been pulled before, and the pain was awful, but for Master's sake, I must be brave, and I attempted to start off. Then came another jerk and pull. My mouth hurt frightfully, and I didn't know what I was wanted to do, so I stopped and waited for orders. I tried to turn my head round to say as plainly as I could, "Please be kind to me, and I will do just as you wish." Another rough pull, and my head was jerked back again. The severe pain at my mouth was getting more than I could bear, and I began to grow restless from fright and intense suffering. I simply couldn't stand still. My mouth hurt me so dreadfully. I felt I should go mad, and I tried to run away from my persecutors. Tighter and tighter grew the grip on my rein, and fiercer and yet more fierce the pain at my mouth, and then, oh, shall I ever forget the horror, the pain, and the indignity of the whole thing? I felt a stinging lash across my back. Frantic with fear, and now scarcely knowing what I did, I struggled as hard as I could to tear myself away from these cruel men, but I only made matters worse. Crack, crack, crack went the whip, and each time it came down upon my poor back with greater force than before. I really don't know what would have happened to me if a stable lad, belonging to the men who were trying to drive me, hadn't sensibly run off to fetch my own master. He came to me just as quickly as ever he could, and at the sound of his dear voice, I stood perfectly still, though I was trembling in every limb, sore in body and mind, at the treatment I had just received. "Elf, my poor elf," said Master, as he gently stroked my head, and soon his dear soothing voice drove the madness of fear out of me, and I was his own docile elf again, thankful to rub my head against his shoulder and shower my kisses on his hand. Meanwhile, my tormentors stood silently by and watched Master as he bathed my poor, sore mouth with warm water which he had got the boy who fetched him to me to get for him. The men who had treated me so roughly now looked thoroughly ashamed of themselves and offered to help Master, but he would not allow them to do so. It took me a long time to get over my fright, and even now, when I hear the crack of a whip, some of the old fear comes back. But I am happy in knowing that no one but Master or Ricketts will ever drive me again, for I heard Master say so, and he always keeps his word. The whole experience was the most terrifying and unpleasant, as I am sure you will realize, humans. I had meant to do everything in my power to please those two men for Master's sake, and especially as he had told me to go well. They had only repaid my good intentions by torturing me, and had never even given me the chance to show how nicely I could go. Then, the cruel indignity of anyone daring to thrash me, when my own master never even thought it necessary to carry a whip with him, let alone use it to me. Perhaps I was not as brave about bearing the pain when my mouth was pulled as I might have been, but I got so frightened, and those men did hurt me so much. Imagine, friends, how you would feel if your mother allowed someone to take you out for a walk, and whoever it was began to pull you by the arm roughly and without any apparent reason to go on pulling until you felt nearly sick with pain. Then, when you ask what is wanted of you, the only reply you get is a succession of hard, cruel slaps. Somehow, I think you would feel very much as I did and try to run back to your mother, to pour into her sympathetic ear your tale of insulted feelings and hurt dignity. When I got back to my stable, Eros and Chanticleer noticed how upset I looked, and they were both very kind and listened with keen interest to all I had to tell. Mother was very anxious about my poor mouth, which was still sore and swollen, but Ricketts bathed it again, and by evening it was so much better that I was quite able to enjoy the extra nice bran mash he brought me. Before I went to sleep, Master came to my stable to see me, and he patted my head and slightly rearranged the rug on my back, much to Minnie's annoyance, who was already sound asleep. She always jumped up the minute Ricketts covered me and settled herself on my back for the night, and if Master or any of his friends came to look at me and happened to disturb her, she was very angry, unless she got some special notice too, when she would condescend to rouse herself, stand on my back, and purr loudly as much to say, "Am I not a beautiful cat? The elf is all very well and her back makes me a nice warm bed, but I am more handsome than she is." So thought the cat, but I am sure Master wouldn't have come to the stables just to see her. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sleep Stories for Equestrians. Relax and enjoy this music as it carries you to dreamland.